We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price, and I am joined by Princeton head women's lacrosse coach, Chris Saylor. Coach, it's good to talk to you.
Thanks, Jerry. It's great to be back and to see you again and be on campus with the team.
I know. It's been a strange, you know, essentially almost, you know, 18, 19 months by now. And, you know, we've done a couple of podcasts during the pandemic, and I think the theme through all of them was, this isn't something you've ever been through before, and you're sort of learning on the fly a bit. So I guess where I would start is, now that you're back to fall practice, but your fall practice in the COVID world, what percentage of that is normal now? Is it, you know, 99% business as usual, or have you had to change things? Let's just start with that.
Yeah, it feels very much like we're back to normal. I mean, we're all being COVID tested once a week, but beyond that, the kids are in the locker room, we're out on the fields, we're lifting in the weight rooms. So in terms of the day-to-day experience, we're an outdoor sport, so that certainly makes it easier too. I think it feels just like any other year when we're back for fall ball.
So let's take a step back then to when you first got to see everybody together. What was that like? What was it like for the kids who took the year off versus the kids who stayed enrolled? What was the sort of the dynamic that existed at that point between these two groups who hadn't seen each other for so long?
Well, they had actually seen each other. I mean, our kids are social kids, and they had, a lot of them had gotten together for a weekend in Princeton in the summer to play together and to hang out together, get to know each other. So I would say that just about everybody knew a lot of the team. Even the incoming kids were here for summer camp, and we had, I think, maybe six or seven of our sophomores who worked that camp. So there was no one who was coming in who didn't know anyone, right? And I think for everybody, just being back together, it was just so exciting to actually sit in a room together for the first time and talk about, you know, the season that was about to unfold in front of us, and then to have our first practice and first training sessions. I mean, it was just phenomenal to have everybody back together again. And certainly they had been together in smaller groups, whether they were out in Park City or Nashville or wherever they went. A lot of the kids who took some time off and kids who were here on campus were together last semester. But to have the full team back, I think they're just so incredibly grateful to all be together again and seeing each other every day.
So I would think that in the world of coaching, that you sort of think to yourself in terms of, you know, the day at hand, the practice at hand, whatever. But also, as you look longer term, you say to yourself, okay, well, we're going to graduate this group this year. We're bringing this group of kids in here. I have a reasonably good sense of where my team is going to be. Now, all of a sudden, you find yourself with what you thought was going to be a senior class of 2021 that has starters all over the field that you have to be replacing is now back. And on top of that, you have two full classes of players who have never played in a game and another class that played in five games. So where do you even begin with all of that?
Yeah, well, there's definitely a lot of teaching, no doubt about that, because a lot of we had 19 who took the year off. And so although they did their best to train and to play as best they could, it's very different than being here on campus and, you know, being in a normal practice that we would have. So there's a lot of reteaching. Most of the kids on the team are young. There are very few who have more than a year of experience, just really the senior class and some of the juniors. So we are very young. So there's a lot of teaching going on of systems, but I'd say we're very athletic and we're very skilled. Kids each year, the group that comes in gets more and more skilled. That's just the way women's lacrosse is going with the stick work and the kids playing younger and younger. And I think it's one of the more athletic groups that we've had the pleasure of coaching. So everybody's so excited to be here. Everybody is grateful, as I said, for the opportunity. Everyone's working really hard and enjoying the time together out on the field. And so we're getting better day by day. But it is a big difference, from just training and doing your own wall ball and your own footwork to actually being in a high level Division I practice. So everybody had to get their sea legs under them.
Did you have any idea what to expect? And I mean, I had no idea what to expect from the football team, for instance, when they had so many kids who were out, who came back mixing with a group of people that, you know, they had never met, who mm-hmm. some of them hadn't met each other. But just in general, what the idea of being away from it for a year was, and then when you come back, nothing would have surprised me that I saw from them.
Yeah.
When you look at your team, did you have an expectation of what that would be like?
I did. I mean, I knew our players would come in shape because that's a part of our team culture. And we've also been in Zooms with each other, you know, for the last 18 months. We've, you know, welcomed the new kids in Zooms this past summer. As I said, they've gotten to know each other in different ways. So I expected that we would come in and we would embrace the new kids and we would quickly, teach them what Princeton Lacrosse is all about. And I think that really has happened. I think that's a great part about our culture. We're incredibly welcoming and inclusive, and we're supportive of the freshmen who come in and want them to feel at home right away. And that definitely did happen. And I think one thing we were aware of, we did have a bunch of kids, some who were enrolled and some who weren't enrolled, who spent, significant amounts of time together. So, you know, we wanted to make sure that, you know, once we're back at school, everybody's on the same. We didn't want kids who were, you know, spending the fall out in Utah together, had all their inside jokes or their special memories, and other kids, you know, who might have been enrolled and living at home kind of felt left out from that. But, you know, that hasn't been really an issue for us. And fortunately, our team isn't that big right now. We only have 34, which for us is the biggest team we've had in decades. But by D1 standards in the COVID years, it still is pretty small. So, you know, we don't have 44 kids, we have 34 kids. So it's just a few more than we normally have, just the way the numbers worked out for us. And so I think we're trying to have a lot of opportunities for people to get to know each other better and develop this good sense of team and culture over the first couple of months that we're here.
So, you know, you talk about culture and another way of saying that is chemistry. and your team has players on it. Let's just stay with the seniors now who took last year off and are back. And I think that's a group of seven of them. They had great on-field chemistry together that they had developed from playing together for as long as they had played together. And now they could stay in shape. They can live together. They can do all those things, but without having played lacrosse games together and actual full team practices together, where is that chemistry? Is it just come back? Is it just something that's, you know, almost muscle memory to them at this point?
Yeah, to some extent, yes. But, you know, on the other side, you actually have to you have to play and you have to practice and you have to get back what it means to for our defenders. You know, OK, people are going to full speed. And how do I get that angle and get into that space she's trying to get to? I mean, it definitely takes reps, but understanding the way we do things and what our expectations are and teaching that to the younger group. That's something that's consistent for us. I feel like our seniors are doing a great job leading. And one of the most important things that to remember is that our seniors are no longer just the seven who were the class of 21. You know, we now have a 10-person senior class. And for me, I think that was the biggest thing. Princeton is so class oriented. And now we have classes, senior classes, who are made of kids who were not part of the same class all the way through, and junior classes were not all the way through. And I think everyone's been pleasantly surprised about how that's worked. I mean, it's something that we talked about, and, you know, we wanted our seniors who were originally in the class of 22 to feel every bit as much of a senior as the 21s who were coming back for their senior year. And I think they have developed a nice chemistry and camaraderie within each of the new classes that have been redefined. But more than that, it's like we're one big family, right? We're more than just these four classes. We're one big Princeton lacrosse family. And I think the kids have done a great job with that.
I actually think I had it wrong. I think it's six returning seniors. And
including Jordan, who's going to be our manager this year. Yeah, it's six. Jordan is taking this fall off, and she's no longer able to compete due to injuries. So she's going to
Jordan come back Marcus.
Jordan Marcus. She'll come back as our manager and be part of that class. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk. I mean, you know, how many practices have you had? What have you seen so far? Where do you think the strengths and weaknesses are? You know, what has stood out to you? Is there somebody, you know, one or two players who are back who you think have made a jump? Is, you know, any actual, you know, lacrosse nuts and bolts stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think you start with some of the 21 seniors. You know, we have a very experienced group defensively in Marge Donovan, Olivia Pugh, and Mary Murphy, who've all played for 3 years, you know, this being their fourth year. And so they'll be a really great anchor of that defense. And then, you know, Kyla is really the only player on the offense who has a full year of consistent gameplay. So we will be very young offensively, and we're very young in the midfield. But like I said, we have talent, we have skill, we have athleticism across the board. And so it's been really fun to see that developing and to see the skills that different people are bringing. In terms of returners, I've been impressed with Lucy Gildahouse. I think she's done a really nice job. She's a senior this year and has, you know, played for us throughout her career in bits and pieces. And she was on campus last year and really had the benefit of a lot of coaching, a lot of reps, and she's looking really good this year in the midfield, which has been great to see. Impressed with Shannon Berry as well. She's come back and is just a leader with her communication on field. I think she's done a really nice job. I thought Kate Mulham looked good in our scrimmage against the alumni this past weekend. And we have a bunch of freshmen and sophomores who are getting their first real time. And they're, as I said, it's a very talented group. And a lot of those kids are going to be on the field joining with our returners and our sophomores who played for half a year as freshmen before that the 2020 season ended. So we have a lot of depth. We have a lot of speed, and you're going to see some young names out there this spring that are really going to impress.
Yeah, I think it's a little early to start singling out freshmen and such. But you talk about speed, you talk about depth, but like what areas of the field do they sort of bolster, which, you know, I assume you need people to be on the offensive side as much. And the one name you left out on the defensive end is Sam Fish, obviously, is back.
Oh, well, obviously Sam Fish she's doing a great job. That's a kid who, you know, puts in time. I know her dad's always shooting on her and helping her get ready. And I think she's done a really good job coming back. And we have Tia Raymond is a freshman who is our number two in the cage. So it's been nice to see those guys and see how they're developing. But Fish is just such a great anchor for us back there. No doubt about it.
And then, you know, going back to where the younger players are going to fit in. I guess the question is, when you go to recruit, are you just trying to find the absolute best players you can find? Or are you trying to say, all right, we're graduating defense, we need defense, we're graduating offense, we need offense? Or is it just, we'll find the players and we'll fit them in later? Because
it's a combination. I mean, I think when you recruit, if I look at our last few recruiting classes, probably the biggest position that we recruit are midfielders. And then some of them will naturally be moved to offense or to defense. But then, you know, you need a specialty, a crease kid, a really good line defender. So it's really a combination of those two. The young kids are mostly freshmen and sophomores are really going to bolster our offense and our midfield, I think, because we have those three senior defenders back, but certainly they'll give us good depth and options on the defense too. And you know, there will certainly be a couple of them who will be in contention for that fourth spot on D as well.
So let's talk about a couple of other things. Let's talk about the rest of the fall. You have in another week, you have sort of a three-team event going on, and then there's the weekend after that is a trip down to Baltimore. But just, you know, just talk about the rest of the fall and what you're looking at.
Yeah, the fall's been great this year. The Ivy League has loosened some of the rules. So we actually have more practice, both in out of season. We have more of our hours that we can devote to practice. And in fall ball, we have more hours that we can devote to practice versus strength and conditioning. So that's been great. There's more coaching time for the team with the coaches, more time for us to be on the field together with them. And I think that's really been helpful and something that they appreciate. And certainly in this year, the COVID year, all those minutes really do add up. But we're looking forward to the tournament a week from this evening with Rutgers, who was did very well in the NCAA last year, and Villanova, who had been on our schedule for the last 2 years. So those will be good tests for us to see kind of where we are and just to play somebody different, see if we can adjust to different defenses that we might not be used to playing against so much in practice. And then the trip down to Johns Hopkins, we'll play a full regulation game against them and hopefully one extra period. I think we both have a lot of kids that we'd like to give time to on the field. So we're excited for those opportunities to play. And last weekend we had an alumni group here with a lot of great players, recent grads, as well as some oldies but goodies. Lauren Simone Farrell was back doing her thing on the offense from the class of 02. And Lucy Small DeStefano from the class of 99, kind of anchoring the defense. So, but it was a lot of fun and a good chance for us to go full field and in a coached and officiated scrimmage setting.
The schedule for the 2022 spring season is set, I believe.
Yeah, it's pretty well set. Everything except for times at this point. We're opening with Virginia on the road. And obviously we have all our Ivy games, and then we will be taking a trip out to Fish's home state of California over spring break. We'll be playing at USC and then down in San Diego State, which is Fish is from San Diego. So we thought that would be fun for her to play in her backyard. And then in addition to those, we'll have the traditional rivals like Maryland and Penn State, Loyola, Stony Brook, Temple, schools like that.
So two last things. One is, I know a lot of people who went through the COVID situation and they've come out of it in two different camps. One is the camp of the opportunity of taking a step back from what they had done for so long and sort of felt like, you know, don't want to go back to that world. And then the other group is the people who are like, couldn't wait to get back to that world. And so for you, who's coached lacrosse for so long, and then last year, yes, you coached, you had a team to work with in the spring, but you didn't play any games or anything like that. You sort of strike me as can't wait to get back into it. Very happy to be diving back into it. But what has it been like for you to get back to your normal world of coaching lacrosse, and how re-energized are you personally?
Yeah, it's been fun. I think it's something that we've all really been looking forward to. I mean, it was a long 18 months of Zooms and not seeing the kids, and it's been really nice to be back with the team. It's just a great group. And, you know, I told them at practice the other day when we were under the lights at 52 one evening that it was just one of those evenings where you just want to stay out there forever and you don't want the practice to end. So, you know, I think I'll have a lot of those moments this fall and this year. And it's just been great to have the team back and be back up in Dillon with everybody else up here. So I know we're all very appreciative and grateful for the you know, COVID being at a place where we can get back and get at it.
And then lastly, that not really about the lacrosse team specifically, but the big turnover in Princeton athletics is happened when Molly Marcuse-Simon left as the director of athletics. She went on to become the commissioner of the LPGA. And now the new Ford family director of athletics is John Mack, somebody that you and I both go back a long way with at Princeton. For the people not familiar with John Mack, what would you tell them about him, and what have you seen from him so far as he's started his new job?
Yeah, I think he's really going to be a great leader for us. I mean, first and foremost, he knows Princeton. He understands what this place is about. He understands what a life-changing place it can be, but he's also been other places as well, you know, and I think just seeing how we can improve our department overall. You know, he thinks Princeton's an awesome place, but it's not a perfect place. No place is. And I'm sure he'll help us elevate over his tenure. I think he's a man of character and integrity, and also a competitor, which is just a perfect combination to have in an athletic director, especially in someone who really understands the institution. And, you know, I think he brings, as a Black man, I think it's the perfect time to have him leading our department as well, and for us to continue our efforts, the Tigers Together initiative towards diversifying our athletic department and our sports teams. That's a central mission to Princeton and to our department. And, you know, I think he's going to help lead us in that way as well. But I'm excited for him. It was really hard to see Molly go. You know, I loved working with Molly. She was phenomenal. I think hearing that John Mack was hired kind of softened that blow for all of us. I think he's a guy who's going to roll up his sleeves and get to work and really advocate for the things that are going to make our department better and for the experience of our student athletes. I think he's really going to be all about ensuring that the student athletes have a great experience and the best opportunity to perform at the highest level and achieve on the field.
I could not agree more about John Mack, and, you know, going back with him to when he was an athlete here at Princeton and just having stayed close with him through all of the years, I think Princeton people are just going to love what he brings and his energy and his perspective and his experiences, and just very excited. And again, would be remiss if we didn't mention that Molly was here for 7 years. And if you want to look at what Molly's legacy at Princeton is going to be, it's going to be that she hired some good coaches, and she was there when the athletic program was very successful in her tenure, and that she she did the things that Princeton needs from the athletic director in terms of the other side of the campus. But I think the main thing that Molly's going to get a lot of credit for is, and also she developed great relations and relationships and continued great relationships with alums, all those things. But Molly did an amazing job of navigating the COVID thing. which was so hard for her, so difficult for her, because the last thing in the world she ever wanted to do was to say, no, you can't compete. No, you can't do these things. And I think that she, the more time goes by, we'll get even more credit for what she did in terms of navigating COVID. And of course, we wish her the best with the LPGA, and we're all glad that John is here. Coach Thaler, it's been great to catch up with you here. Why don't we do one more of these when the fall season is over, and then we'll be back to doing them regularly during the season in 2022. And it's just going to be great to see Princeton lacrosse come back.
Thanks, Jerry. Great to talk to you.
For Chris Thaler, the head women's lacrosse coach here at Princeton, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for listening to the Chris Thaler Show, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton women's lacrosse.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car right in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.